choices, new players, new models of care. You know consumer-first healthcare is everywhere. For us to build the future, to see what's new, we gotta look at the world from a different point of view. Consumer innovation ain't going away. I say it's here to stay. Today it leads the way. We gotta drop the silos. We're all the same team. Experience, business, tech, and marketing. So join us now. Join the revolution. Consumer first health is the evolution. Status quo or like status no. Yeah, this is the healthcare rap. Yo, come on, let's go.
Welcome back to the leading podcast about consumer innovations in healthcare. I'm Jared Johnson, and here's what's going to go down today. We have the flavor of the week about Oura Ring's new heart health features. Where do smart rings and other wearables fit in the modern consumer's health and wellness conversation today? And what do they tell us about making holistic health more accessible? I'll talk about that. Then we welcome the Class Act himself, Adam Charrington. In his work with Class, Adam speaks with a lot of digital health companies as well as the provider organizations that they serve and partner with. So he shares his point of view on trends that he's seeing when it comes to patient experience and consumer engagement, as well as the categories of digital health solutions that are out there addressing these priorities. It's time to dive right in. Are you ready? Let's go.
Flavor of the week.
Oura Ring's latest capabilities are signals for where smart rings and wearables in general are looking to be a part of modern consumers' wellness journeys. According to a post on May 10th, Oura, maker of Oura Ring, announced the launch of two new heart health features, cardiovascular age and cardiocapacity. The two product announcements signal the next evolution of Oura, furthering its expansion from a best-in-class sleep tracker to a comprehensive health device and personal health companion, making holistic health more accessible. Cardiovascular age provides a quick, easy-to-digest look at how a person's vascular system may be aging and what that could mean for long-term health. It helps consumers understand their estimated cardiovascular age relative to their chronological age, helping them identify behaviors that can positively impact their health span. Cardiocapacity is a well-known benchmark of aerobic endurance, reflecting the efficiency of the body's cardiovascular and respiratory systems in supplying oxygen to the muscles during sustained physical activity. In simple terms, the better a person's cardiocapacity, the healthier their cardiovascular system and organs will likely be across a lifetime. With the launch of this feature, Oura aims to reposition cardiocapacity from a sports metric to a benchmark of health span and longevity. There are three points that caught my attention about these new features. First, smart rings are a relatively new offering in the relatively mature wearables market. I've heard relatively little about this slice of the category, though they do have prominent positioning on shelves in stores like Best Buy. Second, Oura wants to reposition their device from a pricey sleep tracker to what they call a comprehensive health device and personal health companion. The sleep tracker part is obvious to me. If you've ever tried tracking your sleep with a smartwatch and realized how uncomfortable your sleep became, you can see why a smart ring makes sense as a less cumbersome alternative. And third, the phrase, making holistic health more accessible. Yes, this is press release speak, but what is it trying to convey below the surface? The promise of playing a role for those who are taking charge of their own health. Word on the street is that Oura's metrics are pretty useful and detailed and presented in a user-friendly format on their app. Granted, starting with their third-gen ring, it requires a nominal membership, but the numbers are there for those who want them. And I think that's what's catching my attention the most. The draw for those who are taking charge of their own health and wellness journey. Because until primary care doctors are incentivized to quarterback your health, it ultimately starts and ends with you, whether or not you use the latest smart ring to help. Let's keep smart rings and other wearables in the conversation about health and wellness as we consider how to make holistic health more accessible. That's another way that we'll build the healthcare of tomorrow. And that's the flavor of the week.
The flow.
All right, everyone, get into the flow. We have such a treat for you in store today. Please give it up for Adam Charrington. Adam's the VP of Digital Health and Patient Voice at Class Research. In his work with Class, Adam speaks with a lot of digital health companies as well as a lot of the provider organizations that they serve and partner with. So I'm really excited to ask him to share his point of view on some trends he's seeing when it comes to patient experience and consumer engagement, and what do we even mean by these terms, as well as, you know, some of the categories of digital health solutions that are out there that are addressing these priorities. So let's dig in right here. Adam, welcome to the Healthcare Wrap.
Thanks, Jared. Awesome to be here. I love what you do and really glad to share some thoughts today.
Outstanding.
Well, let's help our listeners, for the few out there who may not know you. Can you give us like a 2-minute version of who you are and what would you like them to know about you?
Yes. So as you mentioned, I'm vice president of digital health at KLAS, and I oversee our patient voice collaborative as well. I've been there 12 years. It's somewhere that I really enjoy working and helping to improve healthcare. My background is in marketing communications. I've done sales and marketing and consulting throughout my career. And I started my career at Franklin Covey, of all places. Got excited about principles, learnings, and business, like the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, et cetera. And so began right away with career in working with organizations, listening, making sure that we're focused on improvement. So KLAS has been a good fit that way. So been in healthcare about 20 years in total. And I'll just say personally, I've got 4 children, 1 active granddaughter, 1 wonderful daughter-in-law, and a grandson on the way, Jared, if you can believe it. It's been absolutely fun to shift roles in life, if you will. It makes my work really, really something I can focus on as I think about my family and my friends and church and others. It's easy to talk about patient engagement because it impacts all of us.
I'd love to let people know a little bit more about KLAS. Like, how do you describe it to people who are not in the industry? Like, what's kind of a layperson's description of what you do?
KLAS is really like a J.D. Power and Associates for healthcare, where they interview customers and they publish the findings of customers of many products. That's really a good description of KLAS. We are mission-based. We exist to improve healthcare. And we love nothing more than guiding an organization to make an informed decision, to understand trends in healthcare. It's really a joy because we have that mission and we're constantly looking at the challenges in healthcare and how can we as an organization and we as a healthcare community really, really come together and improve things for all of us. So KLAS has been around about 28 years. We conduct thousands of interviews every year. And part of my role is not only to lead our research in patient engagement and digital health, but to also listen to the market and listen what they need and what they want. So it's something that I've really enjoyed. We really have such an opportunity to be a resource for healthcare. So you've probably heard of the Best in KLAS Awards. That's something that comes from our organization. That's KLAS, KLAS, obviously. But, you know, made some just wonderful friendships on both provider and vendor and payer side. And there's such a wonderful community out there of people that are trying to improve care together. And I really believe that, Jared. I think healthcare is so hard that you have to be in it with your heart because it's such a challenging community, really. Challenging times, and it's an industry that just needs help. And so I love the collaboration and the synergy that's out there in healthcare.
As you're speaking with all these digital health companies and you're speaking with provider organizations, anything maybe that stood out to you recently?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the projects that we are leading now is interviewing patients for the first time. And so I want to share just a couple things we're hearing on that front. And this kind of goes back to something that happened a few years ago. I bet a lot of your listeners know Adrienne Boise from the Cleveland Clinic. She's one of the gurus out there, very passionate about including patients. And I was in the room when she said, it's an oxymoron to call it patient engagement and not involve the patient. And Jared, that felt like it hit me right between the eyes that if we are going to really make an impact and really improve care, we have to listen to patients. Back in my college days, marketing 101, the first thing we learned was the first rule of marketing is you are not the customer. And I think healthcare is still trying to figure that out. So to that point, some of the things we're hearing, we have interviewed thousands of patients recently and asked them about how technology is impacting their healthcare experience. Here's an example. We interviewed patients from one healthcare organization, and 92% of them said, I am comfortable using technology in my life, in my daily life. So something that we might expect, but that same organization, only had 45% of their patients say, I'm able to personalize my technology experience to meet my unique needs as a patient. So immediately there's disparities out there. When we ask patients what they want in a healthcare technology experience, the word is access. They want access on their terms. They want ease of communication. They want scheduling. They want to check in a simplified way. Prescription refill requests. These aren't new requests, but they're emphasized in the past few years. You look at how healthcare had to shift during the pandemic. We had to adapt, and some of those changes have made it easier for patients. A common example is always telehealth, right? That's now a more ubiquitous part of healthcare. But in interviewing patients, we have learned that some of the highest priorities for patients tend to be areas that providers may not focus on, or they have a lackluster offering for patients. So that's the first thing, that in listening to patients, they want better access. They want that consumer-like experience. Now, I'm happy to report another learning is we interviewed 91 health systems recently and asked them about their priorities and their strategic plans. And it was very rewarding to hear that a lot of them are focused on how do we improve access? We're hearing from these organizations that they have to consolidate their tools as well to better meet those goals and needs of the patients. Jared, one quick example. I was sitting next to a provider executive at a conference recently, and they realized they had 48 different tools for patients to use to enter the health system, if you will. 48 different digital front doors. And no wonder patients get frustrated. It's confusing and challenging. And when they realize that, they also realize that they don't even have a full purview to their own tech stack. Thus, another trend we're hearing is the need to consolidate, to move towards a platform over point solutions. And I mean, there's organizations that are telling us, yeah, we even have tools that we don't even know the effectiveness. We may be paying for things we don't even know about. So it's such an interesting time that we can listen to patients better and we can pay attention to where should we focus? Let's make sure it's on the right things.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence that the more the patient voice becomes a part of strategy talks, that the more we do hear that technology has to change. Whether it is consolidating or moving to a platform or figuring out how to make it enable personalization, that technology has to be a part of that. And that's what's going to allow it to scale, from what I understand from a lot of organizations. That's the only way to make it happen in a meaningful way. What about particularly, I mean, I'd love to keep diving into this, the patient experience side. What do you consider patient experience versus consumer experience? And do you hear anything about those terms? Are they being used differently by health systems?
For sure. There's an ongoing debate about when do you become a patient and when are you a consumer? When are you a member, et cetera? I like that a lot of organizations are just saying, you know what? We're just talking about people. We're talking about people that need care and so forth. But personally, Jared, I think you're a patient when you need care. When you start an episode of care, I don't wake up and say, I'm a patient today, but I do think of that when I'm going in for a procedure or have a condition that I need help with. But I love the term consumer because we are all consumers of things, especially outside of healthcare. And organizations outside of healthcare have really figured out ways to make things more personalized. Insert your favorite example here, right? I love that Delta Airlines knows me. They know my preferences. They have my history. With a couple taps on my phone, I can book a flight and I can do it in a way that's convenient for me, where I need, how I need. I can easily pay. You know, I hope that we're thinking more like the other industries that are offering solutions for consumers. But yeah, the nomenclature is all over the place. I think organizations label things differently, but ultimately, we are talking about, let's just help people get what they need when they need it and how they want it.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, let's just help people experience healthcare in a simpler, easier way that meets their expectations. I like that because it benefits us to move past the nomenclature discussion and still say, okay, wait, why are we even debating this? At the end of the day, there are so many aspects of a person's experience with the healthcare system that make it hard on them and that affects whether they keep seeking care or not. So let's address those things. Let's call them something that makes sense for us to call them. And I do think that's a more productive discussion than getting stuck in the, well, they are a consumer, they're not, their customer, no, they're not, their patient or member, no, they're not. It's the reason why, right? It's the underlying understanding of why do we refer to them the one way or another? Well, yeah, somebody who's coming to seek care, no matter their age now, doesn't accept that everything has to be hard and challenging and expensive, and they don't even know the price, you know, opaque pricing. They don't accept that. Nowadays, we're all like, some part of this has to be better for me, or I'm just going to figure out another way to get the care I need, or I'm just not going to get it at all. And I'd rather do that than go through this really complicated thing. And so it's those expectations. Like, that's the thing that are being addressed here. Like, from the health system perspective, what problems are they trying to solve specifically in these areas? Anything to do with patient experience or consumer engagement? What are they looking for technologies to solve for them?
Yeah, I love the question. It's, as I mentioned, one of my hats is I'm a researcher as well, and I get to interview organizations. And Jared, this exact day, a few hours ago, we conducted a focus group and listened to several healthcare executives. They came together on several themes right away. Number one, we've already mentioned consolidation and moving to a platform to avoid further data fragmentation. Number two, there's wonderful discussions about serving the underserved. That's not a surprise. That's out there. It's been out there, but I love that it came up so naturally that it's top of mind for organizations. Number three, make patients feel like they're the only patient. And this goes back to our conversation on consumerism. It's, you know, Chick-fil-A knows who I am. There's my other favorite example I like to bring up. But why is that? Because they listen, they know, they make it easy to engage. So if we can make patients feel like they're the only patient out there, that's a win. That's a win for patients. It's a win for the health system as well. Number four, providers that are trying to find new solutions in the market, they're often based on existing relationships. That's a little bit on a tangent for today's discussion, but I thought it's important to mention healthcare has to be based on relationships, both from provider to patient, both from vendor to provider. We could have a whole long discussion about payers to providers and the relationships that's needed there. I'll talk more about that in a moment. But finally, patients and providers alike are tired of depending on people to advance care, meaning there's so many ways we can take advantage of self-service and self-guidance tools. My favorite example is patient self-scheduling. This is a high priority for patients. And typically, organizations tend to run into roadblocks internally. The number one roadblock, probably to no surprise to you, Jared, is physician buy-in and providers opening up their schedule. Of course, it has to be done in a thoughtful way, but my goodness, if you make it easy for me to schedule, I'm going to keep that appointment. It's my appointment. I'm the one that created it. That's one of the opportunities and really challenges out there right now is how do we open up schedules for patients? Another problem we commonly hear about is just simplified communication. Make it easy for me to communicate. Let me ask a simple question. You know, my heart goes out to providers that are trying, every year they're told they have to do more with less, right? And it's easy for me to say, just text me and just answer my questions 24/7. But there's ways to do this. There's ways to simplify this that I think will be wins for providers and wins for patients.
Well, that's the lens to look through, isn't it? It's not doing one at the expense of the other. And it's been an evolution for myself of learning how to address that without making it feel like one set of needs is above the other. It's simply the newness of even considering the needs of the patient and or consumer that ought to be addressed more and that leads to a more beneficial discussion and leads to ultimately designing and building the types of experiences we're talking about. And so these are nuances of how to communicate a lot of these things, like you were saying. And those are important points because those are things that can hang up a discussion or block things or turn people off and have people leave the table, you know, who need to be a stakeholder at the table and say, I don't want to be part of this decision-making anymore. And those things ultimately hinder the progress of a health system. So I appreciate you sharing that. I know there's so many different digital health companies out there that are trying to address these things, but I find it helpful to try to categorize them and understand what some of the main types of solutions are out there. What about from what you're seeing? Are you seeing certain categories of digital health solutions that are out there on the market addressing some of the problems you just mentioned that are more consumer experience or patient experience focused?
It's important to mention that even the categorization of things is so challenging. You know, often we get asked for guidance on that very topic. How do you even categorize the many things out there? One answer we've tried to provide is what we call a patient engagement ecosystem report. And Jared, that's simply what I like to call the sorting of the Lego drawer. Just put it in some type of organization to help providers. We've evolved that from what do vendors do and what do they say they do? Can we put that in similar buckets? All the way up to now, we think of it as, well, what are the patient jobs to be done? What are the things that patients need to solve for and how can we address it that way? So we're thinking of it in a deeper way. We had a patient and consumer innovation summit last November, and we asked participants to guide our understanding. We came up with a patient engagement framework, and the patient jobs to be done include things like finding care and accessing their care. And we've talked about scheduling and check-in and appointment reminders, telehealth, et cetera. And then you brought up price transparency. That's absolutely a job that patients need help with. Let's help them understand pricing and paying for their care. And then ongoing communication tools. This is an essential part of an overall engagement strategy, both from care team messaging to patient, post-visit follow-ups, even prescription refill requests can be part of that. And then also helping patients access their health information. Patients want to see their results. They want information in a timely manner. And then for ongoing patient engagement efforts, maintaining their health and wellness. They need that education that's delivered in a digestible, preferred way. Things like remote patient monitoring, patient self-assessments. And again, I'm intentionally focusing on the patient's perspective. There are many other technologies that the provider community needs and uses to help connect these dots. But I think if you always include the patient's perspective, it's going to provide a better approach than what we currently have. I like how you said it, Jared, that it's not either or, it's either and. It's the provider's needs and the patient's needs. So at the end of the day, there's so much overlap, meaning if you focus on the patient's needs, you're going to achieve some of those outcomes that a provider is chasing anyway. Everybody wants an improved experience. Everybody wants improved patient satisfaction, but we tend to just assume that we know what the patient wants. Yes, we are all patients, but we don't think like a patient. A health system has measurements and incentives that they are focused on, and rightly so. But we tend to only focus on our needs in our roles. And even myself at class, I am a patient. I hope I'm advocating for them. But, you know, I'm thinking of how can I help a health system think of patient engagement? And I need to also look at it through the lens of a patient. But think about a vendor that's creating technology that a patient needs to engage in their care. If they don't listen to a patient, they're missing an opportunity. I interviewed an executive at a large health system that was going live on a new EHR. They obviously were excited about the potential to connect with a patient on a brand new portal. And as they were going live, they realized they hadn't asked a single patient what they needed or wanted. And when we tend to assume that we already know. So it's such an opportunity out there. As far as any other solutions out there in the market that are addressing these things beyond what I've already shared, you know, we've talked about platforms and some of those things, or I want to talk about care redesign. It's so interesting to me how many organizations are saying, you know, we're really going to pause and start to look at this in a better way. And I'm excited about that. But it's really a unique time when we are saying, hey, we've got to consolidate tech stacks. We've got to focus. This is the time to ask patients, what's their perspective on that? If they are to use a platform, what does it need to contain? Even though it's a question that we've been asking for a long time, what should care look like? It feels like it's being amplified right now. This is a good time for that.
I love it. Yeah, it's absolutely the right time to be having that conversation and pushing that part of the discussion forward. I love that you mentioned that. Are there any of those examples that you mentioned, the types of solutions that are out there that you personally would like to see more of that you think could make a difference faster in certain areas in patient experience? Are there parts that you just are just kind of tend to be more interested in?
Maybe I'll broaden that just a little bit on any strategies and other partnerships that we'd like to see. You think about a lot of the challenges between payers and providers. I think if we could get them on the same page more, easy to say, hard to do, but that absolutely can improve the patient experience. At KLAS, we have a payer-provider collaborative called K2. That's the summit in the Himalayas. That's one of the most difficult to climb. So as a symbol of, let's work on this together. Let's tackle this mountain together. We're bringing payers and providers in the same room. And we're not saying, okay, whose fault is it that healthcare is so hard and broken? We're highlighting points of light. Where is it working and how is it working? And let's share those insights. That's one thing I'd like to see more of, is just that deeper collaboration. I think especially between those two stakeholders, it's key. I think we have to break down more of the silos in healthcare. Even within a provider organization, there are silos. People have their own forms. Departments have their own forms and their own questions they have to ask. And the patient tends to suffer. What's your name? What's your date of birth? Is your insurance right? Well, yeah, I just gave that to you. Why do we need that again today? Or down the hall, I just told you that. Why are we asking again? But I think breaking down silos is a way that we can improve the experience. I heard a really cool example from a provider that talked about how during COVID, they had to adapt the way they did charting because time was of the essence. They had to really just take all hands on deck approach. They called it charting by exception. They just put in what they had to have in there and they got rid of the fluff. Well, it improved the overall experience for both nurses and patients that they just kept it going. So I love that concept. There's a lot of strategies we can implement if we'll ask the patient and think through their perspective, think about their needs and approach it in a more consumer-friendly way.
Well, like you said, that takes more than a single entity trying to build that. It's through those partnerships, seeing more and more how essential partnerships are to get this done, which kind of, you know, leads me to, I always like looking at the future, kind of looking at a window a little further out, not the really long-term future, but what do you think this looks like a little further down the road when you envision that future? I'm curious what you think it could look like what kind of progress could we make in the near term and what would it take to get us there?
What I hope we'll see soon, and I believe this is coming, is more personalized communication. Help me have access to care based on my needs. Here's an example. I was scheduled to meet with a provider and it took weeks and weeks just to get an appointment, let alone the availability of the appointment. And here's the reason why. They would call me Monday through Thursday between 10 and 4 and try to get me on a call. Well, I can't talk to them. I'm talking to Jared Johnson right now. I can't answer a call. But you know what? Saturday mornings, I'm available, or online, I can schedule an appointment, or even if they just texted me, I can make that happen. Or let me call them in the evening. Their goal was to get me participating as a patient, and that was my goal as well. But this barrier of we have to do it based on the terms of the organization, that prevented me from getting that care in a timely manner. if we can get more personalized, if we can say, hey, Jared, we know you have this type of career, and we know that you prefer this type of communication, and we would like to reach out to you in a way that makes sense to you. Click this button, schedule here, let us know what you need. Holy cow, everything becomes so much easier at that point. The other thing that I hope we will see is we really need to relax some of the complex data rules out there without compromising security. A good friend is Aaron Mary, Chief Digital Officer at Baptist Jacksonville. And he always says, don't be weird with people's data. Just do what we need and make it in a consumer-friendly way. Don't do things that are going to damage the relationship. But it's strange to me that we still will give patients images on a CD, or we'll still offer to fax things to them. And, you know, we need to relax some of those things. When I say, can you email me some things? I'm told, well, I'm sorry, we can't do that because it might compromise things. And that may be true, but there's ways to do that. We share secure information all the time outside of healthcare. There's ways to do that. So I'm getting out of my lane a little bit here, Jared, but I hope more personalization, you know, reducing some of the complexity that has introduced unnecessary challenges. I hope we're in the near future, that's what we're going to see, and it will ultimately be a win for patients.
There are so many steps that we want to take. We're getting stuck by trying to take them all at the same time, and we're tripping over ourselves. But then we're also just failing to see what's possible because we don't know what to ask for yet. And sometimes we just assume, oh, that sounds like something that's too simple. So, you know, we're used to dealing with so many complex things and complex processes that I'm sure that's not the answer. But sometimes it is. Sometimes those simple things are the answer to the types of progress that we need to see here in the short term. So one last question for you, Adam. If you had a chance to share one message with health system leaders everywhere, especially those who are trying to understand how to do this, how to partner with digital health solutions better or leverage them better, what would you tell health system leaders?
Yeah, a couple of quick thoughts. Obviously, I'm going to say we have to listen to patients more. We have to include them. I love the patient family advisory councils, the PFACs. I think that's a great first step. And I applaud those that are doing that. I love that we have surveys. We can interview people. This is exactly where KLAS is going next on this Patient Voice Collaborative. How do we listen to patients and share learnings across all of healthcare? I've already mentioned examples where if you're rolling out anything that the patient touches to participate in their care, we need to involve them. We need to make sure they're part of that discussion. I would also share, we have to share with each other what's working. It's real easy to point out the problems and not go beyond that. I hope in meetings, in conferences, in panels, that people are saying, hey, let's focus on what's working out there. Because there are points of light. There are examples of groups doing some amazing things. And like we said at the beginning, healthcare is a special place where there is a willingness to share. And I truly believe that. I would also say we need to challenge assumptions. When organizations say things like patients want this, I hope we take a time out and wave the yellow flag and say, hold on, how do we know that? How do we know that's what patients want? Some assumptions out there that we can challenge. Older patients don't use technology. We have data that shows that's not correct. They tend to appreciate it. When we interviewed patients as part of the Patient Voice Collaborative at One Health System, lower income, lower educated patients told us they appreciated the technology more, meaning they rated it higher than other patients. And that really shocked us. So we have to challenge some of our assumptions. And then finally, Jared, I heard a story of a new clinician that got some advice from a mentor when they were starting their career as a clinician. And this wise doctor said, if you listen to patients long enough, they will tell you what the problem is. And if you listen to them longer, they will tell you what the solution is. And I love that thought. I hope that's something we can do more in healthcare and really to make it better for providers and patients alike.
What a perfect way for us to wrap up this episode. And I appreciate you going there and really challenging us to find how to incorporate the patient voice, not just as a side project, but to put it front and center in every design and build process that we have going on. I appreciate you being able to share how patients do want more access, how they're comfortable using technology, how providers tend to look to solutions through their existing relationships, if that helps us understand where to go, and the opportunities that we have for providing more personalized communication on a one-to-one basis. I appreciate all of that. It's been so much fun, Adam, and I appreciate you helping me just keep it real while we're also focusing on what we can do about it. We're not here just to, you know, to say what's going on, but here are some cool things people are doing. So that's a perfect place for us to wrap for this episode. And I want to thank you again. It's been an absolute pleasure to speaking with Adam Charrington from KLAS. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jared. Love what you're doing and happy to participate. Thanks again.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you heard, please spread the word. Tell your colleagues to tune in for all the awesomeness, then leave a review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. This show is produced by Shift Forward Health, the channel for changemakers. Subscribe to Shift Forward Health on your favorite podcast app, and you'll be subscribed to our entire library of shows. See our full lineup at shiftforwardhealth.com. One subscription, all the podcasts you need, and it's all for free. And remember, we might have a lot of work to do in healthcare, but we'll get there faster together. Thanks again.